to what we spoke about last week, and that is the Isser of Hachana from Shabbos to Chol. Last week we spoke about starting a Malacha on Shabbos, which is only going to be actualized B'chol. But what about if you do something which is complete preparation for Chol? What about the Isser Hachana that we all know about? So let's try to get into that a little bit and understand what are the guidelines of Hachana, when would it be permissible, and when would it be perhaps not permissible. Much of the beginning, the first couple of minutes that we're going to talk about here, I took straight from Rav Avadya Yosef Sefer Yechaveh Das. And there, the reason why I took it from there is because Rav Avadya Yosef there discusses a very prevalent shaila, which we're all famously aware of, and that is about folding our talis on Shabbos. So in order to understand what the story is with that question, let's first begin with the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us, Mekaplin es hakelim, afilu arba v'chamesh pa'amim. One is allowed to fold clothing on Shabbos even 4 or 5 times. Says Rashi, what does that mean, even 4 or 5 times? Mekaplin es hakelim begadim. Kelim here means clothing. Kishaposhtan, when you take them off, mekaplim osam. The practice is that you fold them up, kedei lachzer ulalov shambabayam, in order that you can wear them once again. Rashi says, because what happens is when you put them in the washing machine, when they get washed, so they get very misrachim, means they get, what does it mean, soft? I guess it's not really a good translation, but what?
Like
creased. They get all creased, basically, when you put them in the laundry. And they're going to get all creased, all messed up, if you're not going to fold them nicely before putting them away. And therefore we assume that one would be allowed to do that on Shabbos. Then, the Gemara there, that's the Mishnah on Shabbos Kuf Yud Gimel. The Gemara there says, well, it's only allowed under the following conditions. Condition number one, says the Gemara, is when the folding process is done by Adam Echad, however, it's B'shnei B'nei Adam would not be permissible. So again, let's say you have a tablecloth. Sometimes a person is too big for a person to do it on their own, or you have a bed sheet. It's too hard for a person. It's too long. So sometimes you have two people doing it together, and that's the way it's going to be folded. Says the Gemara, if it's done b'shnei b'nei adam, that would not be permissible. Similarly, the Gemara says, dafka b'chadashim. It's only going to be allowed on Shabbos if it's with new clothing. Aval b'yishanim, if you have old clothing, so we assume you would not be allowed to do that, because that's like misakin maneh. Why is it like misakin maneh? Again, because if you have old clothing, the assumption is, Rashi explains, old clothing are more creased than newer clothing. Newer clothing, let's say you buy a new shirt, so when you take it out of the plastic bag the first time, even when it, you know, even when you wear it, even when it gets crumpled up a little bit, it's much, what do you call it, much more stiff, I guess, so it doesn't get creased as easily. If you have an old shirt already, and you've worn it a couple of times, so now, anytime you try and fold it up, that's going to be more of a misakin maneh than a new shirt. That's what the Gemara says there. Condition number three is, only if it's levanim, but if it's tzivuim, if it's a colored clothing, no. So the Gemara had some sort of assumption that there's a difference in the way they used to make white clothing and dark clothing. Obviously, the Shmir Shabbos Kechasa says, nowadays it doesn't apply at all, because our white clothing and our dark clothing are made all the same. So that condition certainly does not apply. V'davka kishe'en lo lahachlif, and this is only talking about a case where you have nothing else to wear. Aval yesh lo lahachlif lo, if you have something else that you can change into, and you don't really need this shirt that you're taking off, or this pair of pants, or whatever it is, so then we assume you would not be allowed to fold it up. Tosis writes over there. Tosis already begins the discussion on the daf. Well, what about folding a talus after you use it? You come to shul in the morning, and you don't have a talus, and you're using the shul's talus. So Tosis says, what's the story? Are you allowed to fold a talus right now in order that the shul should have a nice folded talus for tomorrow morning? Tosis says, no. Why? Because the Gemara only says when you need it for Boba Yom. Kedei lachzer ulalov sham b'boba yom, Rashi says. It's only if you're going to fold something up in order to use it again for the same day, for Shabbos. But if you're going to fold up the talus and use it for the next morning, for Sunday morning in shul, so then we would assume, said Tosis, that that would not be permissible for a person to do on Shabbos. Now, the Rav Yoh and other Rishonim write, this is what Rav Avadya quotes, that our talesim, seemingly you would not be allowed to fold them, even though they're levanim. Even though the Gemara says that usually white clothing you're allowed to fold because that's not such misakin maneh, the Rav Yoh writes that nowadays our talesim, since we're very careful about the creases that we have on them, and we don't want it to get creased out of the line, so therefore he says that that would apply to our talesim even though they're levanim. Now nowadays, levanim and tzvuim, as we said, is all the same anyway. Now, the Rav Yoh, what's important is he adds on, if I'm not going to be kofilet kikipulo harishon, what if I'm not going to fold it in the same way that it was folded in the original fold? For example, nowadays on most talesim, you send it to the dry cleaners, they send it back with a very nice crease. So what if I fold it the other way? Says the Rav Yoh, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, he writes, well, that's not a problem. That would be permissible. Afilu b'shnei b'nei adam. Even if two people want to fold a talis together, which generally we assume if two people do it, you wouldn't be allowed to fold a beged with two people. However, if you're doing a talis like that, which you're not folding, kikipulo harishon, you're not folding on the original lines, you're doing separate folding, so we would assume that would be permissible. That's what he writes. Now, the Aruch
HaShem... What's the issue of two people?
Why is two people worse? So I think two people, the reason why it's worse is because it's more of a misakin mana. Generally, if I fold my shirt by myself, so what's the big deal? Yeah, you're not going to do such a good job if you're folding a tablecloth by yourself. If you have two people, that means you're really makbid to make sure that it comes out just so, just perfect. That's more similar to a misakin mana. So the Aruch HaShem writes, now what about if you do it by yourself, but you spread it out over a couch, or you spread it out over a table? So he says, that's like Shnei B'nei Adam, that's the same, because you can't do it on your own, so that's already considered like Shnei B'nei Adam, and that would be a problem as well. So that's the basic Gemara, that's the basic Sugya.
I don't say all the other, if it's Lutzorach Shabbos, what are all the other reasons?
What do you mean?
Meaning, so if it's Lutzorach Shabbos, so why two people fold it better? What is wrong with it being folded?
It's like Misakin Mana, the Gemara says. The Gemara assumes it's like Misakin Mana. It used to be creased, and now you're making it into like almost like something new. Because you're enhancing the beged now by folding it up nicely on the creases. Let's look in Shulchan Aruch. Misakin Mana means you're like finishing off an unfinished product. That's what the Gemara assumes. Now, let's look at Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll get down to the Halacha L'maisa nowadays, which will lead us into our next part of the discussion for the shiur tonight. So the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. This is number Beis. Shulchan Aruch is in Arachayim Hilchas Shabbos Himin Shin Bei Zakta Shulchan Aruch Mekaplin Kelim B'Shabbos Letzorach HaShabbos. I'm allowed to fold up my clothing on Shabbos as long as it is for the purpose of Shabbos. Lelov Sham Bo Bayom. If I want to wear them on Shabbos proper. V'Davka Ba'Ofen Shemekaplam Adam Echad. Number one. The condition number one that he says is it has to be that one person is folding it. Aval B'Shnei B'nei Adam Aser. If you're doing it with two people, it would not be permissible. Vidavka, number two condition is B'Chadashim. Only if it's new clothing, Shadayin Lo Niskapsu, that weren't washed yet. And therefore, if it's new clothing, we assume that there's still starched a little bit, and by you folding it, it's not really going to do any real tikkun. Vidavka B'Levanim. Condition number three is only with white clothing, but Tzvuim, if they're dark clothing, we assume not. Vidavka Ba'ofen She'en Lo La'achlif. And this is also only provided that you have nothing else to wear on Shabbos. If you have another suit to wear, so then you may as well use the other suit. There's no reason to fold. V'im chaser echad min atnaim ha'ele. If you're missing one, any of these above conditions, says the Shulchan Aruch, usher, you are not allowed to fold the clothing on Shabbos. V'yesh misha omer. Now he adds on, shalakapel shalokeseder kipulo harishon mutar b'cholinyin. If you're going to fold it against the creases, like some people do with their Shabbos talis, so then, there's no shaila at all, because that's not really considered folding it. Why do we assume that that would be considered permissible? Why is that? Because obviously, I think the understanding is, obviously from the fact that you're folding it backwards, you're folding it inside out, it shows you don't care that much for it to be folded just perfectly, correct? Because if you really did, you would fold it on the creases. From the fact that you're doing it the wrong way, that shows, obviously, that you're not that makbid, so that's not real misakin mana, that would be permissible. So again, the Shulchan Aruch says here, you have to have five conditions. Number one, that it's white. Number two, that it's new. Number three, that you need it for that day on Shabbos. Number four, that you don't have another beged. And number five, that it's done by one person and not by two. Now, there are some limitations in which we would assume that this issur would not apply to. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says, obviously, nowadays we have no difference between a white beged and a dark beged. Therefore, that condition is certainly off the drawing board. That wouldn't apply at all. I spoke to my father today. He felt that he thought the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa said this. I was looking briefly just now, I didn't really, you know, that's a problem. I go to YU on Wednesday afternoons to learn with my father. Problem is, I get home at 7:30, the shiur's at 9:15. Every time when I come home, before I leave yeshiva, 10 minutes before I leave, I tell him the highlights of the shiur, and he always rips it apart. So then I come home from 7:30, I have to figure out how am I going to eat dinner, get my kids to sleep, and also figure out all the problems that my father raised with the shiur I'm about to give. So it's always an issue. So I was looking very quickly when I got home just now. My father told me that he thought the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says, even if he doesn't say it, my father felt this is the halacha, that really the Gemara is addressing something that we don't talk about nowadays. We're never talking about a person who's going to take, let's say you throw the laundry in right before Shabbos, and now it gets all creased, and now you want to know, can I fold it on Shabbos? That's never the case that we're talking about. What we're talking about is, I wear a sweater on Shabbos, right? I took it out because it's cold in the morning. Now in the afternoon it gets warm. Now I want to know, can I fold up the sweater and put it away in the drawer, correct? I think that's generally the shaila that we're dealing with. So my father said that's not what the Gemara is talking about in the first place. The Gemara is talking about where you take it out of the laundry and it's totally creased, and now it's really misakin mana to fold all the clothing nicely and make it look nice in the drawer. When I have a sweater that I wore, it wasn't creased in the first place. It wasn't a problem. And therefore he thought that really me'ikar adin, this whole halacha is not really applicable nowadays at all, because it's not really what we're referring to. This is a very important kula to know about. And then the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa discusses also, what about hanging my pants on a hanger? So a lot of Svarim talk about, what about the pants on the hanger? So my father thought again, number one, your pants in the first place that you just wore didn't just come out of the wash. Generally, nowadays, we're makbid, we're all big mufunakim. If the crease gets a little messed up on our pants, we already send it to the cleaners, we need to have it pressed again, right? We always want to have it very nicely pressed pants. So if that's what we're talking about, and the reason you're putting it onto a hanger is not because you want to make a crease. It's because you want to make sure that the crease is going to stay that was there before. Not the crease, the press. What?
You want to make new creases.
You don't want to make new creases, and you want the old one just to retain itself. So that's not considered part of the isser of misakin money. You're not doing anything new. You're just preserving that which was there already, and you don't want to have to send it to the cleaners to have another build because you want them to press it again. So therefore, in a case like that, my father thought certainly that would be permissible. So now let's get to the talis. What's the story with the talis? So the Chayyadim writes as follows. Chayyadim writes that mutter lekapel hatalis b'shabes shalo kiseder kipula harishon, says the Chayyadim. You're allowed to fold the talis on Shabbos not by the regular press that was there originally. However, he says in the end, v'davka kisherotze lelav shabbos shabbos, shem lokein aser. So I'm allowed to fold my talis not on the regular press, but only if I want to wear it again on Shabbos. If I don't want to wear it again on Shabbos, that would be hachana. What do you mean? What's the problem? If you're not folding it on the creases, there's no problem with misakin mana at all. There's no issue at all. So this chayyadim is a very shvera chayyadim, and Rav Avadi Yosef in that Chuvani Chavidaz has major issues with it. He says it's not true. One of the conditions of having an isser of folding clothing on Shabbos is that you're folding it in a way which is misakin mana. If you're folding it against the regular press, that would not be misakin mana at all. That would be permissible, even if you're doing it litzarach machar, even if you're doing it for the weekday, you're not doing it for Shabbos at all. Now, the Maharsham writes, my father, again, was telling, why should that be different, folding the talis than, which case were you referring to? Than the pants? So again, the pants, I'm not folding, I'm not doing anything, I'm just hanging it up on a hanger. Now you're hanging it up like that. So my father thought Me'ikar Adin, the talis thing, is really not such a major issue. He thought the talis thing really is not a major issue. And of course, what I spoke to him about is the following. When I got married, what I do is what my father always did. So my father, on Shabbos, always takes his talis and folds it against the creases. Okay, there's room to be machmir. Again, Me'ikar Adin, maybe a lot of this doesn't apply. There's room to be machmir. So again, you fold it not with the regular creases, right? You fold it a little differently. I didn't always remember on Matzah Shabbos to unfold it the wrong way and fold it back the right way. I don't know, does everyone else do that? I don't know, I wasn't always so careful, so I always left it. I came back the next Shabbos and it was folded the wrong way from the Shabbos before, so that's the way I always have it. So in fact, the Maharsham has this discussion. What if every Shabbos I fold it the wrong way? So now is that considered Shalok Seder Kipulo HaRishon? Is that considered like, oh, now you're switching the way that you're normally folding it, so that doesn't help anymore? What? So the Maharsham has a suffix about it. He goes back and forth. He vacillates whether or not that would be part of the Isser of folding clothing on Shabbos, Misakin Mare. And he says, well, the Maskana is he thinks that other Achronim say that, no, once you're doing it every Shabbos like that, now you're changing the status of the way you fold your talis. So that would not be permissible. That would not be a way out. My father thought that was a chumrah. That's way too far. So way too far of a chumrah. Number one, the Gemara is not even describing what we're talking about. Number two, like you said, we have creases in our talus, we have a fold in the talus, which is the normal way, and it's clear, unless your talus is so old and you haven't washed it in a long time, that you no longer have that press. But if you have the press, it's like the pants. So Me'ikar Adin, the whole halacha doesn't apply at all, because you're not doing anything, you're just trying to preserve it. Now when you're folding it the wrong way, you can still see the press very clearly, that you have not folded it on that, so certainly my father thought that would not be an issue at all. And that's what the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa also writes, in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that certainly if you're going to fold it the wrong way, even if you don't change it after Shabbos, there would be no problem at all to do that. Either way, I'll call upon him. What you see from this Gemara is very clear that obviously Hachana would be something that is not permissible on Shabbos. And that's why Rashi writes in the Gemara, the only time you're allowed to fold the clothing on Shabbos with all the conditions that are going to be permissible is if it's Letzarech Osayom, if it's Letzarech Shabbos. But if it's Letzarech Chol, if it's for the weekday, that would not be permissible. Yeah.
Is this an issue of Hachana or is it an issue of Misakin Mana?
So the Gemara here says you have to meet all those conditions because that's to do it on Shabbos for Shabbos itself. It's not even permissible unless you have all those conditions. Now what about if I meet all those conditions, all those criterion, So you should say it will be permissible. Says the Gemara, it's only permissible if it's for Shabbos itself. But if it's for weekday, it's not. So we'll see. So why we let it fold the tally? Why we let it do anything? We'll get to that in a few minutes. So that's number one. So we'll get to that. We'll get to all these very important questions. If they're not answered at the end of this year, let's remind ourselves. So so this is the most important, most fundamental Gemara when we talk about Hachana on Shabbos. Comes from this sugya, where the Gemara says very clearly that one, because of Misakin Mana, one is not allowed to fold clothing, unless you follow the following five fundamental principles. However, even if you follow those rules, it would only be permissible if it's Litzorech Bo Bayom, but if it's Litzorech Machar, that would not be allowed. Now, a second place where we find this idea of the Isser Hachana from Shabbos to another day is the Gemara Im Sachem. The Gemara tells us Im Sachem Samachay, I forgot to put it on here. The Gemara says when you have Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos. So we have all sorts of issues. What do you do about Shalashudas and what do you do about the Chametz and what are you going to eat? However, the Gemara has a problem. What about in the times of the Beis HaMikdash? What are you going to do? You shech the Karban Pesach when? In the afternoon, Shabbos, right? You're only allowed to... What? It's Hachana, right? So you're allowed to shech the Karban Pesach on Friday afternoon because that's the Mitzvah Hayom. But I need to cook the Karban Pesach tonight. I'm not allowed to cook it on Shabbos. So what do I do, says the Gemara, Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos, I have to wash off the meat because there's blood all over the meat. I have to be able to cook it tonight. Can't cook it with all the meat. So the Gemara says, Hadachas Karban Pesach is not Tochas Shabbos. You're not allowed to do the washing off of the Karban Pesach, even though I shechted it on Shabbos. I'm not allowed to do the washing off on Shabbos itself. Why not? What malacha are you doing? Hachana, it's not a malacha. What am I doing? So there's two very important points that you see from the Gemara. Number one, even though there's no malacha involved, there's only a tircha, what am I doing? I'm taking water, pouring it onto the behemoth. So what's involved in that? What isser am I violating? Nothing. What you see, number one, is that hachana applies even when you're not doing a malacha per se, you're just doing a tircha ba'alma, that's already considered hachana. And number two, what you see from the Gemara is, even to do hachana from Shabbos to Yom Tov is not permissible, not only from Shabbos to weekday, but even from Shabbos to Yom Tov is also not going to be allowed. Okay? So those are two very important things that you see from that Gemara, which you didn't see from the first Gemara we mentioned. The first Gemara just says, this is concept of Hachana. We thought that was from Shabbos to Chol. Now what you see from the second Gemara is not only from Shabbos to Chol, even from Shabbos to Yom Tov, and not only Shabbos to Yom Tov, even if it's not a malacha at all, even if it's not any violation of any Isser on Shabbos, even if it's just a Tircha Ba'alma, that would also not be permissible to do on Shabbos Letzarech Yom Acher. The third brisa that we find, which is also a very important Gemara, is the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches.
So what do you do in that case? You have to wait...
Wait till Matzah Shabbos. So it's a very busy Matzah Shabbos, because you have to finish the Seder by Chatzos, and you can only start doing everything. That's where the Gemara talks a lot about, how you're supposed to do everything in a very short span of time. The third place where you find this issue of Hachana is the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches Amad Aleph. Zok the Gemara number Gimel. Ka'ara Sha'achal Behem Arvis. When you have the plates that you used for your meal at night, madichan lechal behem shachris, you're allowed to clean them off in the sink in order to use for the meal on Shabbos morning. What if you have the kalim, the dishes from the meal Shabbos morning shachris, madichan lechal behem etzaraim, you're allowed to wash them off in order to use them in the afternoon on Shabbos for shalashudis. But tzaraim, what if you have the dishes for shalashudis, madichan lechal behem mincha, you're allowed to wash them off in case you want to eat some more by mincha time. However, min ha-mincha ve'elech, we assume nobody's going to eat then, shuvena madichan. Then you're not allowed to wash them anymore. Says Rashi, why you're not allowed to wash them anymore? De'ein hadacha zu ela l'chol. Again, I'm not going to eat anymore after mincha. Now I'm obviously going to the rabbi's shir, certainly this Shabbos. Rabbi Shechter is giving a shir this Shabbos. Very important topic. So it's a good thing to come to. So obviously there's a shir every Shabbos, so you're going to go. So you're not going to be eating at that time. So why are you washing the kalim? Obviously you're washing them for Sunday morning. So you're not allowed to do that. That's what the Gemara says. That's the third place where we find the Isra of Hachana Litzarech Hachol. This is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, both in Simon Shin Beis and Arachayim, as well as in Shin Chav Gimel. Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to wash the kalim in order to make use of them the next day. Now, not only do we assume that the kalim of Shalashudas are not allowed to wash, but any kalim that we assume you're not going to use anymore. Let's say Friday night I had a whole house of company with 30 people. Tomorrow I'm just eating together with my wife, so I really don't need 30 plates. So me'ikra din, we assume, you're not allowed to wash the 28 plates. You're only allowed to wash the ones that you need for the next day. Don't worry, we'll explain in a minute. However, the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, right, if you have plates which you're not really going to use for the next day realistically, so then we assume that you're not really supposed to do it. However, if you think that you're going to need them, maybe you're going to have company, maybe someone's going to show up, maybe you're going to really need them, then certainly it would be permissible. I did notice in the Rambam that there's a machlokas seemingly between the Rambam and the Ravid. What is the reason why you're not allowed to wash the plates on Shabbos if you don't need them? What am I doing wrong? So the Rambam writes, the reason why is because hadachas kelim is like mesakin. Nirakim mesakin, the Rambam says. What's the mesakin? So that's what I asked my father today. He gives me problems with my shir, I give him problems with his Rambam. So the Ravid writes simple. The Ravid says, you're doing a tircha shelo letzarech Shabbos. You're doing a tircha that you don't need for Shabbos, you're doing it letzarech ol. So that's why. That's the simple understanding of the Gemara. The Rambam says, nirakim mesakin. So my father said, must be a misprint. You have to look in the new Rambams. It's obviously a misprint. It can't mean the Rambam is not to be taken literally. I looked in the new Rambams. He doesn't say anything differently. So he thought nirakim mesakin means nira, like you're fixing up your house, the tzarachol. He thought that the Rambam also means like the Ravid. There's no machlokes as Rambam and Ravid. If you look there in the Magen Mishnah learns the Rambam kipshuto, that he means kimisakin mana. And he deals with it. What exactly does the Rambam mean? So my father thought it was a very problematic Rambam when I pointed it out to him today. But obviously the simple understanding of that iser, of washing the kalim, is, again, because of hachana, like the Ravid says. Now, when would it be permissible to wash the kalim? So number one, let's say I'm running a big school, and we're going to have hundreds of students, and after the meal, we're going to have hundreds of plates all over the kitchen, and we're afraid we're going to have flies coming on, ants all over the place, and the kitchen's going to smell from all the dirty plates and all the dirty things in the kitchen. So obviously, something like that, that's not called hachana letzarechol. That's called doing a pu'ula on Shabbos that's for Shabbos itself. I don't want my Shabbos to be ruined by having flies and smelly things all over the house. So therefore, I would assume in something like that, that would obviously be permissible. Similarly, if you have, let's say, a hospital where they're very hypersensitive about hygienics and they're very careful about everything being super clean, as they always try to do so in a hospital, so then obviously we would allow them to wash all the kalim, even though they know that none of them are going to be used on Shabbos itself for any other meals. However, we want to make sure that the hospital is going to remain super clean, super hygienic, and therefore that's going to be permissible. And for that matter, in a private home as well, if, let's say, you feel that you're going to have ants that are going to come to the table, ants that are going to be running around the kitchen, or it bothers you to have you know, the dishes lying all over your kitchen. For some people, it's not a big deal. For some people, it really bothers you. You walk into the kitchen, you see a big mess. It's not something that is enjoyable for you. So obviously, that's not doing something that's letzarech chol. You're doing something that's letzarech Shabbos. It enhances my onek Shabbos to have all of the dishes washed. Not because I want to have time tonight to go out to the movies after Shabbos. I don't want to be busy with it. That's not a good enough reason. But if right now it bothers me on Shabbos that I walk into the kitchen and I'm embarrassed by the fact that my guests are going to be seeing all the dirty plates all over the place, or it bothers me that I walk into a dirty kitchen, or I think I'm going to have ants on the floor, obviously that would be something that is going to be permissible because that's not a hachana letzarechol, that's letzarech Shabbos atzma, which is obviously permissible. Rav Moshe writes, however, let's say you have them in a place, let's say you have, I don't know, we just bought a house, it's very interesting, we bought it from an Italian Catholic. So for some reason, they built this beautiful kitchen, and then we have a side kitchen off of the main kitchen. The whole beautiful kitchen is just a show. And the side kitchen is what she used to cook in. Okay, very interesting. So we're lucky we have a Pesach kitchen, very nice. But basically, let's say you have something like that, says Rav Moshe, and you can put all your dishes in there. If it's a big tircha for you to do that and you never wash the dishes in there, then not. But if you have a side kitchen, if, of course, all of us have show kitchens and side kitchens, so if you have something like that, and the show kitchen you can easily keep nice, and you're going to leave all the dirty dishes in the other room, says Rav Moshe, then obviously in a case like that, you wouldn't ever have to clean it because it's out of sight, it's out of mind, it's not bothering you. So in a case like that, Rav Moshe says it would be permissible. Then Rav Moshe talks in another tshuva, what about filling up your dishwasher on Shabbos with all the dirty plates? So again, if you're doing it because you just want to save yourself time on Matzah Shabbos, you don't want to have to put everything in the dishwasher after Shabbos, then it's not permissible. But if I'm doing it because that's the best place to keep it on Shabbos without everybody having to sit and look at all the dirty dishes on Shabbos, you just want to put them in there, and that's the best way to get it out of sight, out of mind, obviously, says Rav Moshe, that's the Tzarech Shabbos Atzma, it's permissible. Ah, yes, Rav Moshe, isn't the door of the dishwasher going to be mukza? So how am I allowed to open the door? Now, number one, nowadays with the dishwashers, you have to be careful with the lights going on. I don't know what they have nowadays. But if you have a dishwasher that doesn't have a light we're talking about, or it doesn't have some something that changes on the dial when you open the door, so obviously that's what Rav Moshe is describing. So in a case like that, says Rav Moshe, isn't the dishwasher door going to be mukta? So how are you allowed to open it? Says Rav Moshe, no, that's not mukta. That's a klisha malachta l'iser. The halacha always is when you have a klisha malachta l'iser, when it comes to the laws of mukta, a klisha malachta l'iser is mutter to carry, l'tzorach gufo u l'tzorach mekomo. So over here he says, Over here, I need the space. This is getting in my way of putting something into the dishwasher. And therefore, he says, you're allowed to open the door. Why am I allowed to close it? So now you have an open dishwasher. You filled it all up. Why am I allowed to close it? Tzarach Makoma. I don't want people tripping on it. I want to be able to walk by in the kitchen, says Ramosha. So therefore, Ramosha says, you're allowed to open the dishwasher, fill it up because it's not Hachana, it's Tzarach Shabbos Atzmo. And you're allowed to close it again because that again is Tzarach Makoma because you don't want people to bump into it and hurt themselves. So that's also a heter that we find with regard to this. What about something, let's say I have a very beautiful kli on Shabbos and I want to wash it in order that I can put it back into the break front and I want all my guests to see it, it's such a beautiful thing. Obviously, again, that's the Tzarach Shabbos Atzmo, that would be permissible, even though you're not going to physically eat from it afterward. But if you want to show it off, you want people to see it, that would be permissible. That's the same as the Mishnah Berurah writes about making the beds on Shabbos. Why are you allowed to make the beds? I am doing it only the Tzarach Matzah Shabbos. Says the Mishnah Berurah, no, if you don't like walking into your bedroom and seeing a mess in the room, and you like when the beds are made, and you like when all the beds in your house are made, so then obviously that would be permissible. That's what the Shemir Shabbos Kachasa writes, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, and they add on also that it doesn't just mean in the master bedroom that you're allowed to make the beds, because that's the fancy room. It means in any of the rooms in the house. If it bothers you to walk into your kid's room and the room is a mess also, so then you would be allowed to make the beds, even though we assume you're not going to use that bed till the night. Yeah.
Rinsing the dishes off before you put in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Rinsing
the dishes off before you put them in the dishwasher. Why are you doing that? To make it easier on Matzah Shabbos?
No, when you put dishes in the dishwasher to wash, you're not taking them out of the dishwasher after Shabbos.
So you're just trying to save yourself time for Matzah Shabbos. So why would that be any different than being Madiach, the what do you call it, the Karban Pesach on Shabbos for Yom Tov? Isn't that the same?
It sounds like it's the same as the Kalim also in the case of the Mishnah. If you're doing it for after, if you're not doing it for
Shabbos,
it's the Mishnah. It's not even the case of the Karban Pesach, the case of the Kalim itself.
No, but here you're not really washing them, right?
So, different type of Madiach.
You don't want the dishwasher to smell.
You don't want the dishwasher to... Is that really why you... That's not why you do it.
No, or just that in the plates. It gets even dirtier.
No, you don't want it to be clogged.
You don't want the dishwasher to be clogged.
You're just a neat freak. You know?
So if you're a neat freak, so then that falls into the other category, right? About why you're allowed to make the beds in the house and why you're allowed to clean everything else up. I don't know. I would assume that's probably similar to the case of washing off the Karban Pesach, where again, you're not doing any malacha, you're only doing a tircha. And still, we wouldn't allow it. I think. I have to look into it. I'm not sure. Ramosha has another fascinating tshuva chelik dalet. I showed this to my father today. He was laughing. I don't know why. Where Ramosha talks about getting your kids into pajamas, let's say at 5 o'clock Shabbos afternoon. So isn't that hachana? Meaning they're not going to go to sleep. I don't know about your kids, but my kids don't go to sleep till whenever. So they're not going to sleep at 5 o'clock. But we get them into pajamas 5 o'clock. Isn't that hachana, says Ramosha. So he says, no, that's not hachana. Why not? Because everybody knows, what's the natural, normal routine of a child? You try to wind them down a little bit. You try. So you put them in pajamas at 5 o'clock. Then they run around from 5 until 7, 8, 9, whatever. And then they go to sleep at 9 o'clock. So Ramosha says, you're not doing this because it's hachana for chol. You're doing it because this is the natural way of a child's routine at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You're doing it letzarach Shabbos Atzma. They put on pajamas, and then they go and they run around, and then you put them to bed later on. However, Rav Moshe does say, if let's say you're doing this only because you want to run out to the movies the second Shabbos is over, and you don't want to be bothered with wasting time getting the kids into pajamas then, or you're running out to a simcha, obviously not to the movies here, so whatever you're going to do. So Rav Moshe says in a case like that, well, that's obvious why you're doing such a thing, and you wouldn't be allowed to do that. That would certainly be hachana. But again, if you're doing it because that's the natural, normal way that your children run their lives, and every day at 5 o'clock you put the kids into pajamas, so that would be not a problem at all. There is an interesting Gemara where we're told the Baba Basra Daf Tesam and Aleph, says the Gemara, that's number Dalet, Nosnin la'ani ha'over mimakam la'makam. The Gemara says when you have a poor person who passes through your town, so you have to give him, you have to provide them with a certain amount of food, a certain amount of money. Says the Gemara, what about if they show up on Shabbos? Nosnin lo mazon shalosh sudos. You have to give them food that is going to take care of them for at least 3 meals. Says Tosas, what are we talking about? When on Shabbos did they show up? They showed up Friday night. They showed up Shabbos day. So Tosas says, for whatever reason, Tosas assumes, we're talking about where they show up Shabbos b'tzaharayim, Shabbos afternoon. Shabbos b'tzaharayim, so why are you giving them shalosh sudos? What's the shalosh sudos all about? What? He's giving him shalosh sudos, right. He's giving him sudas shlishis, but why are you giving him 3 meals? Why is that? So that's what Tosfos writes. You have to give him three sudas. Number one, you have to give him for Shalosh sudas. Number two, you have to give him for Matzah Shabbos Malav Malka. Number three, you have to give him for Sunday morning while he's going to be traveling. Because he's not going to be traveling at night. There used to be no lights on the road. So he's going to wait till Sunday morning. So you have to give him food for Shabbos afternoon Shalosh sudas. You have to give him meal number two for Matzah Shabbos Malav Malka. You have to give him meal number three while he's traveling on the road on Sunday till he gets to the next town. Then they'll take care of him. So the Acharonim ask Akasha, isn't that Hachana? Why am I allowed to give him food on Shabbos? Mazon Shalosh sudas, isn't that preparing for the weekday? Tosfos just told me, only one of them is for Shabbos, the next one's for Matzah Shabbos, the third one's for Sunday. So why am I allowed to do it? Look at this Geshmaka answer in the Shraga HaMeir. He says the following. Why is this not called Hachana? If I'm not going to give him food for Sunday, it's not Hachana. It's if I don't get him enough to take care of himself, to sustain himself for after Shabbos, it's going to impact the way he enjoys his Shabbos right now itself. So it's not that I'm doing something that's Tzarech Chol, I'm doing something that's Tzarech Shabbos. Like all these examples that we gave, anything that you're doing in the Tzarech Shabbos Atzma is permissible. So he says, Kivin dekvar achal yom shachas. The guy already ate breakfast, he already ate a big chalent, and he had plenty to eat at someone's house. Ula derech lo yeh lo klum. He knows, I already had a meal today. Tomorrow I'm going to be on the road, I don't have anything to eat, I don't have any money. V'tzarech leilech reikam v'im kein mashen losen lo sudu lemachar. If you're going to give him a meal for tomorrow, Habi Kadesha Yocho Sudas Lishas Hayom. If I don't give him a meal for tomorrow, he's not going to eat Shalosh Sudas today. If I give him a meal for tomorrow, he's going to end up taking care of himself today as well. So therefore, says the Shraga HaMeir, that's why I'm able to give him Mazon Shalosh Sudas, even though two out of the three are not for today, because we would consider that to be a Tzarech Shabbos Atzma, because that's what's going to get him to eat the meal on Shabbos itself. Very, very interesting answer, a way to explain why Tosfos says you have to give the person three meals, even though he's coming Shabbos afternoon, and only one of them is going to be eaten on Shabbos proper for Shalosh Sudas. Now, what about a person studying for a Gemara final or a Chidon HaTanach that's going to take place on Sunday? So is that permissible to do that? So that's a Shiloh that's asked all the time by high school kids. And the answer is, it is permissible. Why? Because right now on Shabbos proper, you're learning also. You're learning Torah. You're not going to say, yeah, of course, the only reason you're learning this Masechta, the only reason you're chazering these Prakim and Nach is because you have a Chidon HaTanach tomorrow. It's because you have a Bechina in this particular Masechta, on this Perek. However, that would be considered the Tzarech Shabbos Atzma also, because even though that's a secondary consideration, but obviously, ultimately, you're having the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, which is going to help you today. It's going to help you become a Talmid Chacham right now. That would be permissible. What about a Bal Korei to prepare the laning? He's going to lane this week, Monday and Thursday, or a Bar Mitzvah boy who has a few months to go, and during the week he's too busy, his father's not around to review it with him. So what do? Shabbos, everyone has time. Are they allowed to sit down on Shabbos and prepare the laning together? The answer is yes. Why? Because that would also be considered the Tzarech Shabbos Atzma. I am not doing it for Shabbos. I'm doing it only because I'm laning on Monday and Thursday, or I'm going to be laning a few months down the road. The answer is, right now I'm doing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Right now I'm learning from a Sefer. Right now I'm reading from a Chumash. And therefore we assume that would be the Tzarech Shabbos Atzma, and that would be permissible. The Shmir Shabbos Kalchasa even writes, let's say you have Purim, falls out on Matzah Shabbos, and the person wants to just review the Megillah before they go to lane and shul on Matzah Shabbos. You want to make sure you know how to do it. Shmir Shabbos Kalchasa says that he asked of Shlomo Zalman, and he felt that would be permissible as well. However, he threw in the following caveat, and that is what the Sefer Chassidim writes, which is quoted by the Shari Tshuva, the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah. Let's read it as follows. B'Shabbos, let's say this Shiloh comes up so often. You have a nurse who works Matzah Shabbos shift. So a nurse always has to take a nap during the day, or more than a nap, sleep a few hours. Otherwise, how are they going to make it through the whole night? 12-hour shift. It's not easy. It's not easy as is. But obviously, they have to take a nap. So Shabbos, a lot of times, if a nurse works Matzah Shabbos, so they'll say, oh, I'm going for a nap in order that I should be able to be up for my shift tonight. Says the Sefer Chassidim, no. B'Shabbos lo yomar adam nishon. A person shouldn't say, let's go to sleep, kedei shenasa melachteinu b'matzah Shabbos. He's talking to the nurse. Don't say, I'm going to sleep now because tonight I have a long night, I have to do work. She'asur lomar lemachar esa. Afilu chafetz lichtov Torah. Even if I want to stay up all night writing Shtikl of Torah because I had so many Chidushim on Shabbos, and now I need time on Matzah Shabbos to write it down, and that's I have very noble intentions. Or even if I'm a nurse and I'm going to save lives on Matzah Shabbos, still, person obviously is allowed to take the nap on Shabbos, nothing wrong with that, but you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say the reason why I'm doing this is because I want to be able to stay awake for my job tonight. Shemara, Masha Yashin, Venach, Shabbos, She'osha, B'svi'al HaChol, Eliyomer, rather a person should say, Nanuach, Yi Shabbos Hayom. Person should say, I want to take a nap today because it's Shabbos. And on Shabbos we rest, on Shabbos we enjoy ourselves, on Shabbos is part of the Onik Shabbos. Happens to be, tonight I'm also going to go to work, but a person shouldn't say that. And this is a shaila that comes up quite often. I know that when we have, let's say, Shavuos on Matzah Shabbos, happens every once in a while. People also, they make an announcement in shul, everyone should make sure to take a nap because we're going to have a Shavuos program tonight, everyone's going to stay up. That's not really right, you shouldn't say that. Everyone should take a nap because it's Shabbos. Everyone understands the reason why you're announcing that in shul. But we don't have to say, it says in Sefer Hasidim, you shouldn't say that. I did discuss with my father today about what the machlokas between the two brothers-in-law, the Chazon Ish and the Stipler, had a machlokas about whether or not you're allowed to return Svarim to a bookshelf after you use them on Shabbos. So should we assume that's considered hachana letzarachol? So the Stipler said, what are you talking about? What's the hachana? It's a bizayin to the Svarim to leave them on the table. I don't know about you. I don't always put a sefer back the minute I finish using it. Sometimes you leave it on the table a little, you put it back later until your wife tells you to, right? It doesn't always happen right away. So, anybody? Am I the only one? Right, So the Chazon Ish said that no, you're not allowed to put it back on Shabbos. And the Stipler said that's a chumra mefreses. What right do you have to say such a thing? It's ridiculous. Of course you're allowed to put it back. It's a zilzul asvarim to leave them out. My father thought like the Chazon Ish that because during the week we don't always put them back right away when we're finished using them, it's not such a zilzul to the svarim to leave them out, and therefore that might really constitute achana. We shouldn't do that again, unless you're the type of person that it really bothers you to have on Shabbos proper to have things lying around the house. Obviously, you're allowed to put it away. If not, then you shouldn't. Now, there's a chiddush that the Achronim...
Only because someone else might want that safer, so on Shabbos.
Okay.
Nothing to do with
Yizayin,
nothing to do with...
So that's also Tzarech Shabbos. That's also Tzarech Shabbos.
For that reason alone, you should be able to do it.
Okay.
How is the
Sedir Minshul? Sedir Minshul. So 1 second. So the question is, what about if the reason why you're doing the Hachana is because there's going to be a Hefsid if I don't do this? So the Achronim discuss it. Again, it's not the Tzarech Shabbos, it's certainly the Tzarech Chol. I have no purpose on Shabbos whatsoever. But if I don't do this now, it's going to get ruined, and I won't be able to use it after Shabbos either. So this is a big discussion that the Achronim have. The Elya Rabba brings a raya as follows. Oh, we're a little bit running out of time, so maybe I won't go through his raya. The Elya Rabba tries to bring a raya, other Achronim try to disagree with his raya. However, there is a very clear indication from the Gemara that it's mutter. For example, let's say the Gemara says, Beitza shenolda b'yamtiv, when you have a Beitza that is born on Yamtiv, and it's certainly not allowed to be used or eaten on Yamtiv because it's considered mukta, it's nolad, it was born on Yamtiv proper, you're not allowed to use it. Still says the Gemara, Avol kofa alav esakli, I'm allowed to take a pot and put it on top of the Beitza in order that it shouldn't break, kedei shelo tishaver. Ah, isn't that hachana? I'm not going to use it on Shabbos or Yamtiv, I'm only going to use it after Shabbos Yom Tov. So why am I allowed to do anything? Answer is, why? Because there's a hefsid that's going to be involved. If I don't cover it over, someone's going to step on it, someone's going to trip on it, it's going to get ruined, it's going to break, and I'm not going to be able to use it at all. And similarly, the Gemara says in Beitza Daf Lamed Hey, what if I have a flood on Shabbos, and I have a rainstorm is about to come in, and I have all of my fruits are drying on the roof. So now it's going to get all messed up if I leave them there. So it says, Mashil and Derech Haruba B'Yamtiv. You're allowed to push them into the skylight. You're allowed to push them in through the hole in the ceiling in order that they shouldn't get ruined by the rainstorm on Shabbos. Why am I allowed to do that? It says that you're not allowed to eat those things on Shabbos Yamtiv because you plan to leave them there for a couple of weeks to dry out. Now I'm allowed to do a tircha and push them into the house. How am I allowed to do that? Answer is, again, because they're going to get messed up. Or the Gemara says, if I have boxes of wine or schnapps upstairs on the roof, and now they're going to get all ruined, there's a storm coming, they're going to fly away, they're going to get broken, I'm allowed to push them into the house in order that they shouldn't get ruined. There was no way I was going to drink 100 bottles of wine on Shabbos at Yom Tov, so why am I allowed to do that? Answers the Achronim, because, again, if it's Letzarech Hefsid, one would be allowed to do so. I did see a very surprising discussion in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, and that is what happens when a person comes to Shul on Matzah Shabbos. So you walk into Shul, and you come 5-10 minutes early, so you go to the shelf, you take a sitter, and now you go to your seat. Isn't that hachana for chol? Because you're only going to use the sitter on Matzah Shabbos. I thought this was a joke.
You can daven earlier.
What?
You can daven before.
Right, so you know, number one, you know that the minyan is not going to daven until another 10 minutes, right? So they're not davening until 9 o'clock. And you come in at 8:45, and you take a sitter off the shelf. He says the Shmir Shabbos Gechasa, isn't that hachana? So the Shmir Shabbos Gechasa, right? It's crazy. So the Shmir Shabbos Gechasa says the only way you're allowed to do it is if you're going to take the sitter to your seat, read a Kapitel Tehillim in the back, and then you're showing that you're using it at Tzarech Shabbos. I don't know. It's a very surprising chumrah to me on many levels. Number one, if you say that B'makam Hefsid Meruba, it's permissible. B'makam Hefsid, where you're going to lose something, it's permissible to do Achanas over here. What's going to happen? So we're going to say Baruch Hu. Now it's no longer Shabbos. Now once you say Baruch, I have to go run to the back of the shul, get a sitter. What kind of davening is that? What kind of davening is that? That's the davening is quick enough as is, you can't keep up. So what if you're going to lose time by having to go to the back of the shul, get a sitter after they say Baruch Hu? It's going to be pandemonium in the shul. So that's number one, I think. But there's a much more fundamental reason why it's permissible. And this is what I asked my father today, and he agreed. He thought it was a good svara to assume that it would be permissible. And that is based on the Gemara Maseches Shabbos Daf Ches Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Kol davar shegazru mishum shvus lo gazru ala ben ashmashus. Anything which is only Asur on Shabbos because of a din derabanan, because of an isur derabanan, lo gazru ala ben hashmashos. They didn't say that you're not allowed to do that during ben hashmashos. It's only during Shabbos proper, but ben hashmashos, which is a suffik anyway, suffik yom, suffik laila, they didn't institute their gzerim and derabanan on that time period of Shabbos. Now the Magen Avraham has a suffik. What about, are we only talking about on the ben hashmashos of Friday going into Shabbos? Because that's a suffik Friday Shabbos. And it was becheskas heter, he says, because it was Friday all day. So now maybe the Chacham weren't gozer on that. Or does he even mean Bein HaShmashas of Shabbos going to Matzah Shabbos, which is Becheskas Iser? That's the Shaila that the Magen Avraham raises. And the Prima Gadim talks about it also. The Lady Archonim, the Bir Halacha, and the Aruch HaShulchan, and Shimna and Beis say, no, it goes in both directions. Whether it's the beginning of Shabbos, end of Shabbos, Cheskas Heter, Cheskas Iser, we assume the Chachamim did not institute their Gzeres Midrabanan on either side. Not at the beginning of Shabbos, not on the end of Shabbos. Kolzman that it's Bein HaShmashas, it would be permissible. And the Rashba writes this Beferish, in Erev and Lamed Beis and Beis. The Rashba says that Beferish. Rabbi Kiva Eger, in fact, has a very nice pshat, which he says he heard from someone. I forgot who he says he heard it from, but he says it was Dvarim Nechmadim Lo. So if Rabbi Kiva Eger thought it was nice, it means it's really nice. Kiva Eger says, we say on Friday night, Safik Hashecha, Safik Eina Hashecha, Eima Asunas Havadei. So he says, why do we use the double Lashon? Safik Hashecha, Safik Eina Hashecha, what do you mean? If it's Safik night, then we know it's Suffolk night. Why do you need to use both terminologies? So he says it's going on both directions of Shabbos. It's saying whether it's the beginning of Shabbos where it's Suffolk Hashecha, I'm sorry, the end of Shabbos, whether it's Suffolk Hashecha, whether it's already Matzah Shabbos, or Suffolk Eina Hashecha, meaning Friday afternoon going into Shabbos. We're not sure if it's dark, if it's light. So Rabbi Kiveger says someone told him the Pshat that it's going on both directions of Shabbos against this Magen Avraham. To say that in both directions the Chachamim were not gozer on an Isser Midirabanan, Bizman Bein Hashmashos. So certainly that's our assumption. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like this in Siman Tav Tes, as well as in Siman Shin Mem Beis, that kol davar shegazru ala mishum shvus lo gazru ala Bein Hashmashos. We assume that Bein Hashmashos it is permissible. So over here, the whole Din Achana is less than an Isser Dirabanan. The whole Din Achana is not even a Gzerim Dirabanan. So certainly it would be permissible Bein Hashmashos. We daven Ma'ariv on Matzah Shabbos, how late after Shabbos? 30 minutes, 40, I don't know how much, after real Shabbos is over. We daven way after Shabbos, way after Shkia. It's certainly after Shkia, it's probably Bein Hashmashos. So certainly it would be permissible to take a sitter. That would not be a violation of Hachana at all. My father thought based on that also that you would be allowed to clean off the plates. Now, they say after Shalosh Shudas you're not allowed to clean off the plates. But nowadays, if you're going to eat Shalosh Shudas and then you're not going to start davening Ma'ariv until, let's say before I came to the Young Yisrael Wundmir, over here, they have a shir in between mincha ma'ariv. It's unusual, right? Usually in most shuls, they daven mincha a little bit earlier, then people go home and eat shalosh shudas, and then they come back to shul 25 minutes after shkia, 30 minutes after shkia to daven ma'ariv. So if you have a case like that, you're going to finish shalosh shudas 20 minutes after shkia, you're in Bein HaShmashos. My father felt, based on what I suggested today, against the Shmir Shabbos Kachasa, my father felt the same way you would be allowed to take a sitter off the shelf, even if you're not going to read the tehillim from it, you're allowed to take the sitter off the shelf in order to do hachana for Matzah Shabbos, so to speak, to daven Matzah Shabbos ma'ariv. So too, you would be allowed to clean off the plates after a late Shalosh Shudas. That would not be an issue because the gazur alav bein hashmashos. Now, what about the point that was mentioned over here? Sorry, if anyone wanted to daven ma'ariv. One Shabbos to another Shabbos would not be permissible. Says the Tosefta, madichim kelim mishabbos laosa Shabbos. You're allowed to wash the kelim from one Shabbos to another Shabbos. Avalo mishabbosu the Shabbos acheres, but not from this Shabbos on to another Shabbos. What do you see? That's our case of the talis. I'm not folding my talis in order to have it for Sunday. I'm folding my talis in order to have it for next Shabbos. This is my Shabbos talis. Still, the Tosefta says that would not be permissible to do. That would be a violation of Hachana on Shabbos as well. What you see is Hachana is not only Mishabbos l'chol, Hachana is not only Mishabbos l'yamtiv, Hachana is even Mishabbos l'Shabbos would also not be permissible. Yeah.
How far to say that folding the talis is l'tzorach like with the dishes? Right? You don't want to have your folded talis sitting in shul, people running around, getting knocked over. So l'tzorach Shabbos, you want it neatly put away. So it's not Hachana.
If it's going to bother you.
It's like putting the dishes in the dishwasher, or even cleaning the dishwasher.
Okay.
Is there any sort to say that for the talis?
Sure. If you're that kind of person. Meaning, if it bothers you so much that, again, if it bothers you so much that it's not folded exactly the right way, then perhaps there's room to be made. Now, one last point before we stop. Actually, my father told me also this evening, as I was walking out, he said that he remembers Rav Soloveitchik used to fold his talis on Leil Yom Kippur for the morning of Yom Kippur. So that's the only time of the year that it's permissible. Because again, to fold it from one Shabbos to the next Shabbos, that's not allowed. To fold it from Shabbos to weekday is not allowed. To fold it from Shabbos to Yom Tov is not allowed. But to fold from Yom Kippur night to Yom Kippur morning, that he said Rav Soloveitchik felt was permissible. Okay, interesting. And one last point to make is, when we talk about the Gemara Pesachim that we had before about being mediach, the Karban Pesach, in order to be mediach, washing off the Karban Pesach in order to have it on Matzah Shabbos. So the Gemara says, even though there's no malacha involved, still it wouldn't be permissible. So that's a very important Gemara, because the Maharil talks about, what about rolling a Sefer Torah in order to have it for tomorrow? So there's no malacha involved, I'm not really doing anything, but the Maharil says that would also be, the Magen Avraham quotes the Maharil, that would also be a violation of Hachana Mishabbos Lechol. Even though there's no malacha involved, still that would be a violation of Hachana, because Tircha, Afal Pisha'ena Malacha, is still not permissible. That's what you see from that Gemara in Pesachim by the Hadachas Karban Pesach, that you're not allowed to do it even though there's no malacha involved at all. Now, there's a big discussion when we talk about, let's say, Shabbos that goes into Yom Tov and we have an Erev Tavshilin. So would we assume that Erev Tavshilin is the other way. When you have Yom Tov that goes into Shabbos, should we allow you with the Erev Tavshilin not only to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, but also to roll the Sefer Torah from Yom Tov to Shabbos? That's a big discussion. We'll talk about it some other time, I guess, when it's relevant to Yom Tov and Shabbos, which is not right now. Anyway, this is a basic overview of the halachos of Hachana from Shabbos to Chol, Shabbos to Yom Tov, and Shabbos to Shabbos, to the next week. And Amir Tzashem, next week, the Shir will not meet, but the week afterward, we will be back on regular schedule.